Welcome to CL-123. This is the W5BSA repeater.
Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSat Net. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1585, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, October the 22nd, 2024. Which in UTC time is Wednesday, October the 23rd at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control. And this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston. The PL tone is 123.0. And I will now take local check-ins.
Thank you.
CL-123. You're breaking up a little bit. Give it another shot there, Herbert. KD5PQJ, WV5Y. Didn't quite make that out. You're quite noisy there, the spot you're in, but we got you down, so welcome to the Inside Net. We got anybody else out there? Okay, and yeah, Herbert, by the way, if I didn't say, that's KD5PQJ. And let's see, this is Marty, WV5OI with the Houston AmSat Net. I want to let everybody know you can call and check into this net by making a quick phone check-in to 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message to West Virginia 5 Yankee, no dashes, no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. Or you can send an email, that's to WV5Y at Comcast.net. Okay, let's see here. We're going to start with a little bit of South Texas Loon Launch Team information. Our usual announcement, number one, which is the South Texas Loon Launch Team has their normal meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, and that happens at 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon, usually at a local restaurant here in town, and often up there in the northwest side. And then they have a Zoom meeting at 8 p.m., and that's over at k5wh.net/Zoom, and we appreciate Walter putting that on for us. Okay, this week's ANS Bulletin is ANS number 295, and it's from Mitch Ehrenstorf, 80HJ. And the AmSat News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AmSat, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AmSat News Service Bulletins via the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Going to give that, especially since the symposium here is just coming up very soon here. And so we're going to give out that snail mail address just in case. And that's to the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, 712 H Street, NE, Suite 1653, Washington, D.C., 20002. We've got some good news here. The 42nd Annual AmSat Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting is going to proceed here, even though Hurricane Milton slowed things down a little bit. But the hotel says they're going to have things ready. Everything's going to be happening in one big room this year. But that's okay. Looks like everything's going to still happen. And so the symposium is still a go, and that's good news. The 42nd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting will take place from October 24th to the 27th, 2024, at the DoubleTree by Hilton, Tampa Rocky Point Waterfront in Tampa, Florida. Originally at risk due to damage from Hurricane Milton, and they did sustain damage, and the hotel has completed repairs following the event. Allowing the event to proceed as scheduled. All symposium activities, including presentations, social events, and the annual banquet, will be held in the same ballroom due to rescheduled events at the venue. While there may be minor schedule adjustments, AMSAT is confident the event will run smoothly. Registration for the Sunday, the Saturday banquet and the Sunday breakfast has closed, but attendees who have secured their spots can look forward to a full weekend of activities. Symposium kicks off with the AMSAT Board of Directors meeting on October the 24th for all, followed by paper sessions and the AMSAT annual meetings and awards ceremony on Saturday, and the weekend will conclude with the AMSAT Ambassador Breakfast on Sunday. And they are offering a relaxed setting for further networking and discussions. This year's symposium will focus on the latest developments in amateur radio satellite communications with a variety of paper sessions and events throughout the weekend. The Friday night AMSAT reception and auction will provide an informal space for participants to connect and exchange ideas. If you have anything of interest that you can donate for the auction, please bring it along. AMSAT remains excited to host the event despite the challenges posed by Hurricane Milton and looks forward to celebrating the community's passion for space-based communications. More information can be found right over at launch.amsat.org/event-5833792. And I want to thank AMSAT for that information. Okay, as well as the AMSAT 42nd Space Symposium, there is the 2024 AMSAT UK Colloquium, and that is a weekend of satellite innovation and collaboration. Yes, the AMSAT UK Colloquium took place last weekend, bringing together enthusiasts and experts from the amateur satellite community. Held as a dedicated stream within the convention, the event featured a range of presentations on the latest advancements in satellite technology and space-related topics. The colloquium provided an invaluable opportunity for participants to engage with cutting-edge developments and network with fellow amateur radio operators. One of the highlights of the weekend was the AMSAT UK Annual General Meeting, where key updates and future plans were discussed. In addition to the technical sessions, attendees enjoyed social gatherings, including the AMSAT Gala Dinner, which fostered further collaboration and exchange of ideas. The event continues to serve as a cornerstone for the amateur satellite community, offering both knowledge and inspiration for future projects. presentations from the 2024 MSAT UK Colloquium are available on YouTube. And there were topics from both Saturday and Sunday. First of all, there was the opening address from Professor Sir Martin Sweeting, G3YJO.
CL-123.
Okay, we've got that address for you. It is youtube.com/live/4VE4Q43PBF0?T=860S. And actually, this week's URLs are not available right now over at amsatnet.com. Bruce is having a little bit of technical difficulties there with the website. So WordPress is acting up a little bit. So we can wait a few days. So we appreciate Bruce working on that for us. And I know sometimes it's hard keeping up with all that stuff. So... you can also just actually do a search actually on YouTube for 2024 AMSAT-UK Colloquium, and you can actually quite easily find the links. Okay, Heather Nichols, M0HMO, did Getting Started with Satellites. Ravi Gopan, M0XUU, and Graham Sherville, G3VZV, did a report on operations via QO100 from North America. David Bowman, G0MRF, did FunCube Lite on Jovian-1. And then there's the Surrey and Space-Based Solar Power presentation put on by Professor Craig Underwood, G1WTW. The FunCube update by Dave Johnson, G4DPZ. Aris UK update, 40 years of amateur radio on human spaceflight, by Sharon Morgan, M0XTD. And then Martin Ling, M0LNG, did an SDR transponder update. And Ian Young, G7III, did automated reception of FunCube, appers, and weather satellite pictures. Okay, then there's the AMSAT DL update by Peter Golzo, DB2OS, and Burns Fisher, WB1FJ, wrapped up with info about AMSAT North America. And we want to thank AMSAT UK for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. We're a little bit past quarter past the hour, and so we're going to take a quick standby, and we're going to take a look around and see who we've got checking in via some of our alternate means here. Okay, first of all, we got Charlie, K5ENG. He's over there in West Houston, and we got him checked in. We had him on landline there a little bit before the net. So good to hear he's sounding good. And so we got him checked in. And then let's see. Of course, thanks to Dale, WD0AKO, up there in Moorhead, Minnesota. He does the backup archiving of the audio for the website. And we appreciate him doing that for us. We have had to use it in the past. And then thanks to Vern, WA0RCR, out of Wentzville, Missouri, you can hear our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting us over there on the top band on Saturday night prime time and a little bit before. Let's see, and we got Kai in 6ZZO. He's out there in McKinleyville, California, and he's one of our podcast listeners, and he calls and checks in, so we appreciate that. Just checking APRS real fast. Looks like we don't have any check-ins over there this week. Let's see. From IRC, we have Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, K8WX. And then from over there on Echolink, hello to Steve, KA5YFC. We've got Mitch, 80HJ, hello to him. And, of course, thanks to him, we have the Wednesday night AmSatNet that takes place on DMR. And that's over on the digital talk group of DMR of 98006 or YSF Fusion. 11689. And that happens at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. So we appreciate Mitch putting on that net for us, so you can check into that and let him know how you're doing, if you're going to be making any grid squares available or anything like that, doing any rows. They always like hearing about that kind of action. So be sure to check in to the Wednesday night AmSatNet on DMR. And then let's see, we also have Damien, AG9P. He's over there in Oconto, Wisconsin. Good evening to him. And we've got Indop, N6UTC. He's in Long Beach, California. Good evening to Indop. And then there's Bruce, KK5VO, over in Roman Forest, up north of Houston. And then very far south, you've got Andrew, KC5LWI, and he's down there in Galveston, Texas. So good evening to Andrew. And we have KJ5ICO, and that's Charles. And good evening, and you're checked in, and welcome to the Houston AmSatNet. Okay. See here, we've got SpaceX achieving its first super heavy booster catch in a landmark Starship flight. We talked a little bit about that last week, but I'm going to cover it again here real quick, and it was actually quite spectacular. SpaceX successfully launched its fifth Starship vehicle on October the 13th, 2024, marking a milestone with the unprecedented recovery of the Super Heavy booster at the launch site. The mission, dubbed Flight 5 by SpaceX, lifted off from Starbase in Boca Chica, Texas at 8:25 a.m. Eastern Time. The launch represented a significant step in SpaceX's long-term goal of achieving rapid reusability for its massive Starship Super Heavy system. The key innovation in this test was the planned recovery of the Super Heavy booster, known as Booster 12. After liftoff, the booster performed a series of precise maneuvers to guide itself back to the launch site. The booster was caught by a pair of mechanical arms, often referred to as chopsticks, mounted on the launch tower. About 7 minutes after liftoff, the arms closed around the top of the booster just below its grid fins, successfully completing the first ever catch of a returning booster.
Mechazilla did a good job. SpaceX officials expressed excitement over the achievement, which is critical for the company's vision of rapid reflight capability. The ability to land the booster directly on the launch pad and prepare it for another flight within days or even hours is a key component of SpaceX's goal to make space travel more efficient. I don't know what to say, Glenn Shotwell, SpaceX President and Chief Operating Officer, posted on social media along with a video of the landing, capturing the surprise and enthusiasm following the success. The mission's second stage, Starship, flew on a suborbital trajectory, reaching a peak altitude of 212 kilometers before re-entering the atmosphere. Unlike the booster, Starship was not intended to be recovered. It performed a controlled splashdown in the Indian Ocean, where it exploded several seconds after touchdown. SpaceX noted improvements to Starship's heat shield from previous flights, which allowed it to survive re-entry in better condition.
DL-123.
The launch came just hours after the Federal Aviation Administration, or the FAA, granted SpaceX an updated launch license. The revised license, issued after concerns about environmental impacts, allows SpaceX to conduct the next flight, Flight 6, without needing a new authorization. Changes to the license included adjustments to the area where debris, such as the interstaging ring, might land, and an analysis of sonic boom impacts from the returning heavy, super heavy booster.
W5BSA repeater.
All right, that was Vern, WA0RCR, checking in. So, appreciate him doing that, and they checked in there on the landline, and of course, he transmits this on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, as he likes to say, and that's from Woodsville, Missouri, at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. Okay, super heavy booster. Let's see. So they want to analyze the sonic boom impacts from the returning super heavy booster. And the environmental analysis, the requirements for the revised license, determined that there would be no significant impacts from the mission. However, SpaceX was still required to conduct monitoring and take measures to protect the local wildlife surrounding the Boca Chica site. The FAA granted SpaceX the ability to proceed with Flight 6 under the same conditions, but the company must comply with strict regulations, including submitting monitoring data and environmental reports. And we want to thank Jeff Faust from SpaceNews.com for that article. All right, the 2024 AMSAT President's Club coins are here now. You can help support golf and Fox Plus. Join the AMSAT President's Club today and help keep amateur radio in space. And you can do that by going right over to www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. This is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. see, we also covered this a little bit real quickly at the end of our net last week, so that we'll have some more detail, and that's on NASA's Europa Clipper embarking on an epic journey to explore an alien ocean world. NASA's highly anticipated Europa Clipper mission officially launched on Monday, October the 14th, 2024, embarking on a journey to explore Jupiter's moon, Europa. The spacecraft lifted off at 12:06 p.m. Eastern Time aboard a SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket from Pad 39A at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The launch, described by NASA commentator Daryl Mayle as unveiling the mysteries of an enormous ocean lurking beneath the icy crust of Jupiter's moon, Europa, marks the beginning of an ambitious astrobiology mission. Just hopefully they don't take along, HAL 9000. The Falcon Heavy's 27 first stage Merlin engines roared to life as the rocket ascended, with the two side boosters detaching about 3 minutes. Separation of the second stage occurred shortly afterward, and Europa Clipper was deployed on its interplanetary trajectory nearly an hour later. Mission Control successfully established communication with the probe, confirming that the spacecraft's solar arrays had deployed as planned, signaling a smooth start to the mission. Monday's launch faced a slight delay due to Hurricane Milton, which made a landfall on Florida's Gulf Coast last week, forcing NASA to close the Kennedy Space Center temporarily. Originally scheduled for October the 10th, the launch was pushed back while teams secured Europa Clipper inside a SpaceX hangar near Pad 39A. This marked the 11th Falcon Heavy launch and only the second time the rocket has been used for an interplanetary mission. The Europa Clipper mission has faced a long and complex path to the launch pad. Initially, NASA intended to launch the probe using the Space Launch System, the SLS, a powerful moon rocket still in development in the mid-2010s. However, repeated delays in the SLS program, along with NASA's commitment to using early SLS vehicles for its Artemis moon missions, forced the agency to opt for a commercial alternative. The 2021 budget proposal allowed NASA to choose SpaceX's Falcon Heavy, though the shift meant the mission's journey to Jupiter would take nearly 6 years instead of three. At the heart of the mission is Europa, a moon thought to harbor a vast subsurface ocean beneath its icy crust. Europa has long intrigued scientists as one of the best places in the solar system to search for signs of life. However, NASA emphasizes the Clipper's mission is not to find life directly, but to assess the moon's habitability. The spacecraft, carrying a suite of 9 science instruments, will study the composition of Europa's ocean and investigate its icy shell and look for any signs of recent activity. After a journey of nearly 6 years, Europa Clipper is expected to enter orbit around Jupiter in April of 2030, where it will begin an extended series of flybys of Europa. Over the course of its mission, the probe will make close passes to the moon, gathering data that could inform future missions, including a potential lander. The mission is set to conclude in 2034, with NASA planning to crash Europa Clipper into Jupiter's moon Ganymede to avoid contaminating Europa's pristine environment. Okay, we want to thank Josh Dinner from SpaceX.com. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat net. See, we're just a little bit past the bottom of the hour here, so real quickly, we're going to take a quick standby, see if we have any more local check-ins. All right. Well, sounds like we got everybody aboard for now. The European spacecraft launches to investigate NASA's asteroid defense test. A European spacecraft, along with two CubeSats, has launched to investigate the aftermath of NASA's first planetary defense mission, known as DART. The European Space Agency's Hera mission took off on October 7, 2024, aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket from Kennedy Space Center. The mission aims to study the consequences of NASA's 2022 mission, which deliberately crashed a spacecraft into the asteroid Dimorphos, changing its orbit.
L-123.
The Hera mission, slated to arrive at Dimorphos and its larger companion asteroid, Didymos, in 2026, is expected to offer a detailed crash scene investigation, according to European scientists. NASA's DART mission had tested whether a kinetic impact or crashing a spacecraft into a celestial body at high speeds could alter the object's trajectory. While neither asteroid poses a threat to Earth, Dimorphos was chosen for the experiment because of its size, which is comparable to asteroids that could potentially be hazardous in the future. Observations following DART's collision with Dimorphos in September of 2022 revealed that the spacecraft succeeded in altering the asteroid's orbital period by about 32 to 33 minutes. However, many questions remained unanswered, such as whether the impact merely left a crater or completely reshaped Dimorphos. The Hera mission is tasked with solving these mysteries by providing detailed data on the structure and composition of both asteroids, which will further refine the planetary defense strategies. Hera is scheduled to reach the Didymos system in late 2026 after a mid-March 2025 flyby of Mars to gain the necessary momentum. During the flyby, Hera will test its suite of instruments and observe Mars' moon Deimos, capturing data that will support Japan's upcoming Martian Moons exploration mission. Once Hera arrives at the Didymos system, it will spend 6 weeks conducting surveys of both asteroids using a variety of instruments to study their shapes, masses, and thermal properties. Hera will also release two CubeSats, Juventus and Milani, to conduct more specific investigations. Juventus will use radar to probe the interior of Dimorphos, while Milani will study the mineral composition and dust environment of both asteroids. These CubeSats will communicate their findings to Hera and relay the data back to Earth, providing scientists with unprecedented insights into the double asteroid system. Ultimately, the Hera mission could end with experimental landings on either Didymos or Dimorphos, further extending its ability to study the asteroids up close. Scientists hope the data collected will deepen understanding of how asteroid deflection technology can be used to protect Earth from future threats. As Patrick Michael, principal investigator of the Hera mission, noted, while DART was a success, Hera will complete the story by offering crucial details that could inspire future planetary defense initiatives. And we want to thank Ashley Strickland from CNN for that information. Okay, do you need new satellite antennas? You can purchase an M2 LEO pack from the AMSAT store. Then when you purchase through AMSAT, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL is amsat.org/product-category/hardware. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AmSatNet. Let's see, two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or simply KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. New bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. You can find more information over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. Okay, so the following satellites have been added to this week's AMSAT TLE distribution. We've got DORA, NORAD Catalog ID 61502. It's on an IARU coordinated downlink of 436.825 MHz. And then we've got SISAT 1, NORAD Catalog ID 61501. IARU coordinated downlink is on 436.375 MHz. And we want to thank the AMSAT Orbital Elements page for that information. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. The downlink frequency on which to listen is 145.800 MHz worldwide. We've got some recently completed contacts between the ISS and schools and different countries on the ground. And we've got the Instituto Comprehensivo Elena Cruzreva Corn, so Italy, direct via IQ3RW, ISS call sign was OR4ISS, scheduled crew member was Sunita Williams, KD5PLB, and the ARIS mentor was IZ2GOJ. Contact was successful Friday, 10/18/2024 at 090946 UTC. Okay, we've got the Colegio Cervantes Torreon, Mexico, telebridge via K6DUE with ISS call sign NA1SS, crew member John Petit, KB5MDT, and the ARIS mentor was VE3TBD. Contact successful Friday, 10/18/2024, 16:59:43 UTC. Teach NW Charter School in Springfield, Oregon, direct via KJ7NLL, ISS call sign NA1SS, crew member Sunita Williams, KD5PLB, mentor N7GZT, contact also Friday, 10/18/2024, 10:27:52 UTC. Let's see, we've got some upcoming contacts. Let's see, 1021. This one already happened. The Robert Drake Primary School in Essex, UK had a telebridge. We have K6DUE. Scheduled crew member, Sunita Williams, KB5PLB, Vieras Minter, M0TXD. And the contact go on Monday, 10/21/2024,
09/42/16
UTC.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, we've got a Spanish school here, the CIP San Ignacio del Villar, Alcalá del Rio, Spain, direct via EG7SIV, ISS call sign, OR4ISS. The crew member is Don Petit, KB5MDT, the Earth Mentor, IK0USO. And the contact is Monday, 10/21/2024 at 11:33:54 UTC. Okay, if you're in Florida, there's one that's going to happen that you can still listen to, and that's from the Magnet Innovation Center in Inlet Beach, Florida. It's going to be direct via WB9GIU. With the ISS call sign scheduled to be NA1SS, and the crew member is Nick Haig, KBG5TMV, and the ISS mentor is AA4KN, and the contact is on Thursday, 10/24/2024 at 15:23:10 UTC.
DL-123.
Okay, the crossband repeater on the International Space Station continues to be active. It's on 145.990 MHz up with a peel tone of 67. And you listen on 437.800 MHz down. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know. You might talk to an astronaut. And the packet system is also active. It's on 145.825 MHz up and down. As always, though, if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. And note that all times are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before the listed time. And the latest information on the operation mode can be found at www.ars.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use by the ISS can be found at www.ars.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARIS operation team mentors, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. So we've got some upcoming satellite operations. Guyana, we've got Aldir, PY1SAD, and ZZ1M, operates from Georgetown as 8R1TM between October the 12th and November the 24th on 16310 meter. CW, SSB, digital modes, and via satellites. You can QSL via Logbook of the World, ESQSL, EQSL, or QRZ.com. And they're going to be from Grid DXNL. That's, 2427, October the 9th, 2024. growing number of satellite rovers are currently engaged in sharing their grid square activations on hams.at. By visiting the website, you gain easy access to comprehensive information about the operators responsible for activating specific grid squares. Additionally, you have the ability to assess the match score between yourself and a particular rover for a given pass, while also being able to identify the upcoming satellite passes that are accessible from your location. And we want to thank Ian Parker, ZM, AMSAT Rover Page Manager, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. We're down to AMSAT Ambassador Activities. AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating to amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, hamfests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. And one of our ambassadors, Clint Bradford, K6LCS, says, AMSAT ambassadors delight in spreading the word regarding AMSAT and satellite operations. Think a lively, informative, and fun 60 to 75 minute presentation would be appropriate for your members. I have 3 Zoom presentations coming up: Southern California, Maine, and Germany. He's done 175 presentations so far, and each one is customized to his audiences. Never is he given the exact same show twice. Between 20 and 26 slides are unique to each presentation. Okay, if that sounds good to you, get in contact with Clint Bradford, K6LCS, AMSAT Ambassador, ARRL Affiliated Club Coordinator, Legacy Circle member, and you can get a hold of them at work-sat.com, or you can give them a buzz over on the phone. That's 951-533-4984 is the cell. As far as the ambassador activities that are rapidly approaching, let's see. Well, we've got PacificCon 2024, the ARRL Pacific Division Conference, October the 18th through the 20th, 2024. So that one already happened a couple days ago. It ended. That was at the San Ramon Marriott, 2600 Bishop Drive in San Ramon, California. And everything was good at that one. And usually for the ARRL Pacific Division Conference and most of the ARRL affiliated conferences, they usually have big goings on and a nice turnout. Okay, of course, coming up right around the corner is the 2024 AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting, October 25th to the 27th, 2024, the DoubleTree by Hilton, Tampa, Rocky Point Waterfront. That's at 3050 North Rocky Point Drive West, Tampa, Florida, 33607. And that's www.amsat.org for more information there. We've got the Small Sat Education Conference, October the 26th. The 27th, 2024. That's the AMS Center for Space Education at the Kennedy Space Center, the Visitor Center, and that's M6-306, 405 State Road, Kennedy Space Center, Florida, 32899, or www.smallsateducation.com. Up
Okay, Frederick Robb, KK6NOW, will be presenting classroom activities with the AMSAT CubeSat Simulator, showcasing the work by the CubeSat Sim Educational Materials Team, Paul Graveline, Silent Key, K1YUB, Alan Johnston, KU2Y, Frederick Robb, KK6NOW, Mark Samis, KD2XS, and David White, WD6DRI. Okay, then we've got the Stone Mountain Ham Fest, ARRL State Convention, November 2nd and 3rd at the Gwinnett County Fairgrounds, 2405 Sugarloaf Parkway, Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30042, and that's StoneMountainHamFest.com. And the AMSAT table and stuff we put on at that one by K4RGK. All right, then we've got N1UW setting up at the Oro Valley Amateur Radio Club, November 9th, 2024, at the Marana Middle School, 11285 West Greer Road, Marana, Arizona, 85653, and that's at www.tucsonhamradio.org/copy-of-hamfest-2022. And N1UW will be there, as well as the Yuma Ham Con, and that's February 20th through the 22nd, 2025. Okay, we want to thank Bo Lowry, K4FCL, Director of HamSat Ambassador Program, for that information.
CL-123.
Hey, do you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition? You can get an AMSAT car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. So you can find that great Zazzle stuff right over at www.zazzle.com/AMSAT_gear. So picture this, you're sitting at the side of the road or in some strange little parking lot somewhere, pointing a strange looking portable satellite antenna out of your window up into space, and a patrolman, nice person, comes, pulls up behind you. Well, hey, if you've got your AMSAT car flag, that'll help show him that what you're doing has to do with amateur radio and satellites and cool stuff. And he might leave you alone. Okay, this is Marty WV5Y with the Houston AMSAT Net. We've got satellite shorts from all over. On October the 4th, the United Launch Alliance, the ULA, successfully launched its second Vulcan rocket, despite one of the solid propellant strap-on boosters encountering an anomaly 37 seconds after liftoff. Booster emitted sparks and debris, but the rocket continued its ascent and reached orbit. The mission is part of the certification process for the Vulcan rocket, which will soon carry national security payloads for the U.S. Space Force and the National Reconnaissance Office, the NRO. ULA included a dummy payload and technology experiments to gather data and validate the rocket's performance. I bet it didn't even include a convertible. Booster issue is under investigation, but the key mission objectives were met, according to ULA CEO Tory Bruno. The Vulcan rocket, powered by Blue Origin's BE-4 engines, will replace ULA's Delta IV and Atlas V rockets, positioning the company for future success in the competitive space market. And ANS thanks Spaceflight Now for that information. Four astronauts.
astronauts aboard the International Space Station, the ISS, of course, are still awaiting their return as mission managers monitor unfavorable weather conditions off the coast of Florida. The Crew 8 mission, which includes NASA astronauts Matthew Dominic, Mike Barrett, and Jeanette Epps, along with Roscosmos astronaut Alexander Grubinkin, is nearing its conclusion after 7 months in space. While they prepare for their journey home, the crew spent the week relaxing and engaging in pre-departure activities. A weather briefing occurred on Wednesday, October the 16th at 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, assessing conditions for their splashdown. Mission managers are now targeting a new undocking time of no earlier than 3:05 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Sunday, October the 20th. And ANS thanks SciTech Daily for that information. Yes, the FAA authorized SpaceX to resume Falcon 9 flights on October the 11th, following a suspension caused by an upper stage anomaly during the Crew 9 mission on September the 28th. The anomaly occurred when the Merlin engine burned 500 milliseconds longer than planned, resulting in re-entry outside its designated zone. SpaceX conducted an investigation, and the FAA approved their corrective actions, although neither disclosed specific details of the findings. A special exception had been made for the European Space Agency's Hera mission on October the 7th, as it posed no public safety risk. With the issue resolved, Falcon 9 operations fully resumed on October the 15th. SpaceX marked its return with a double Starlink mission launching from both Vandenberg and Cape Canaveral on the same day. And we'll thank Space News for that information. And following Hurricane Helene, T-Mobile and Starlink activated their satellite texting service in preparation for Hurricane Milton to ensure Florida residents could stay connected despite potential cellular outages. After the Federal Communications Commission granted emergency approval, the service enabled T-Mobile users to send and receive basic texts, including 911 messages, even if the network went down. Starlink's direct-to-cell satellites were also employed to send emergency alerts to all phones and carriers in the affected areas. Users could determine if their phone connected to a Starlink satellite by the presence of one or two bars of signal and a network name naming T-Mobile SpaceX. That was what came up on the display there, was T-Mobile SpaceX. Satellite service worked best outdoors or near windows, although some users sometimes had to retry sending messages if they didn't go through on the first attempt. SpaceX has also delivered over 10,000 Starlink kits in response to Hurricane Helene as part of ongoing recovery efforts. And ANS thanks Engadget for that information.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. In addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized club, group, or organization. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one-half the standard yearly rate, and post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. Memberships are available also for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 7-3, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. And that's from this week's ANS editor, Mitch Ahrensdorf, 80HJ. And that's MAHRENSTORFF at amsat.org. And we want to thank Mitch there. And see, we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the HoustonAmps.net. We look forward to catching everybody next week. So stay safe out there. Play with those radios. Make lots of satellite contacts. And we look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, myself, Marty, in Northwest Houston, and Bruce, KK5DO, up there in the northern side, we say 73 from the Houston AmSat Net.